Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
All right, Payne and Pendergast, a quick text, and we should recognize. In fact, get the acknowledgement button ready, Ben. This is from Brent in the Heights, and we just got a press release about this. Has Toro gotten a shout-out yet for being elected to the Mascot Hall of Fame? Might be time to put him in the Ring of Honor. Yeah, we just got a press release from the Houston Texans. Houston Texans mascot Toro to be inducted into the Mascot Hall of Fame, class of 2025. Toro, you are acknowledged. How about that?
Does it give any kind of the like a listing of the criteria or anything, or just the exactly why he made it?
It does.
Or she?
Yeah, it does. Well, now it was a vote because I remember
they say he's a bull, but he also I don't know.
Yeah.
He's either a bull or a steer. We're
big
not
fan
sure.
of the station. I was told Toro told me in sign language, of course, not verbally. Uh-huh. That big fan of the show. But to be eligible, in fact, Seth, they've got it right here. To be eligible for induction, a mascot must have existed for at least 10 years. Check. Ding. Give him a ding for that, Ben. A ding for Toro. And demonstrated... Oh, and you too, Seth. And demonstrated a significant impact both within their sport and within their community. Indeed. Inductees are expected to inspire fans.
Yeah. That's all right. We'll go through it, yeah.
Deliver memorable and innovative performances. And represent the highest standards of mascot excellence.
He's never been caught up in any kind of a scandal that we know.
No, not that we know of.
If he has been, they've done a good job of snuffing it out.
Yeah.
It hasn't seen the light of day.
Yep. Yeah, combination of public voting, public online voting, and input from an executive committee. So if you got out there and voted for Toro, you've done your civic duty. Good job. He's going into the Hall of Fame.
You know what? He's done the rare thing, which is to be a championship bull that doesn't have a bunch of children he doesn't know about. Usually the really good bulls have thousands that they don't know
That's
about.
That's true.
You know, thousands and thousands of progeny all over America.
Yeah.
But our Toro, as far as we know, hasn't fathered a single, sired a single calf.
Not that we know. He may be happily married with actual baby bulls that live in that. You know, because you heard the take that Kendrick Perkins had, you know, that to be the face of the league in the logo department, it helps to be married with children bulls, you know.
Yeah.
So
I think the biggest, he has a big leg up on a lot of the other mascots in just not looking so stupid like so many of them do. Like, he just looks like, oh, okay, cool. That's a cool mascot. It's not whatever that freaking that howdy doody looking cowboy thing is up in Dallas. That creepy
guy. Yeah.
Like, you should be delivering a fast food order into its mouth or something. Yeah.
The worst is Brownie the Elf. That's the worst. When they brought
is
back,
is that still a thing? Are
yes.
they still doing that?
Okay. Yeah. I think I've even seen Deshaun wearing a Brownie the Elf T-shirt or hoodie during his Achilles rehab workouts. Yeah.
That Cowboys mascot looks exactly like some children's television show from the 1960s, where you find out later that the guy led a really horrible, awful secret life. Yeah.
You ever seen the early videos of Ronald McDonald and what he looked like in the early McDonald's commercials?
He's like an actual, like the old 1950s style creepy clown.
Yeah,
like
Krusty the Clown, but with like Ronald McDonald paint. Yeah, it's like you expect him to be out in the back alley after he gets done signing autographs for kids, see him in the back alley smoking a cigarette. Still in his clown gear, you know?
You know that I used to do an annual interview with Ronald McDonald at the Houston Sports Awards. It was that guy, the one thing you wouldn't know or expect from him is he was yoked. He was like really built.
Yeah.
It was kind of intimidating. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do if this guy goes all insane clown posse on me.
I was going through some of my old pictures over the weekend, just kind of cleaning out pictures from my phone, and I came across the last time that you interviewed Ronald McDonald at the Houston Sports Awards. I got a big chuckle out of it. You were much bigger back then.
Yeah, I was. Yeah.
It was a
just
bigger
though, I had to keep up with Ronald.
That's right.
Oh, I'm looking at a picture of this original. Oh, no, you're right. It was even worse than the normal clown.
Super creepy, man.
It was he looked like a scarecrow more than clown.
Yeah. It was super creepy.
He looked like they dressed a Scarecrow up as a clown.
Yeah. That's a clown crow is what that is.
What is the box on his head supposed to be? Did they sell pizza back then?
I don't know. It's weird, right?
Oh, I think it was from back when they used to have people come out and serve you in the parking lot. Because he's got a little tray around his belly that can carry food.
Yeah.
And then also maybe you would have carried food on your head,
too. Yeah, I'm telling you right now, if that dude is the one driving up to my car, rolling up on roller skates to give me my food, I am peeling out of there. I am gone. Yeah.
This guy looks like he's about to offer you your choice of cheeseburger or sexual favor in a truck stop parking lot.
Yeah. Not really favors either.
Both very affordable. Yeah. same price for either. Your choice. That's messed up, Sean.
Let's get over to here's D'Amico Ryans. D'Amico Ryans, this is from June 3rd. This is a couple weeks ago. But D'Amico, over the moon about the mindset of the offensive line changing.
Our offensive line, the mindset, I see it drastically changing. I see Coach Cole Popovich, his instant impact on those guys, you can see it from the way they work in their individual drills, the way they come off the line with low pass. It's just the small technique things that you see, how they're dialed in on their hand placement, just speaking the same language. One of the coolest things I've seen when we were working out in phase two, we work out, we activate our guys here in the bubble, and we all travel outside to do our different drills, and the see the O-line come out, and whoever was out first, they waited on the other guys, and they joined together as a group, and then they traveled down to the opposite end of the field to do their position work. So that just shows me that togetherness, that connection that I truly believe in. You want to be a great unit, you have to be connected. So Cole has kind of spurred that connection, that intensity, the mentality that I'm looking for, and we have that. We have the intangibles of what it takes. Now we just got to go out and get it done when we put pads on.
Man, the more I listen to that, Seth, the more I listen to it, you know, I know that they can, I know when they talk about the Laramie move being, hey, you can't pay everybody, you know, that apparently may be what they told Laramie also. Like, you listen to that cut right there, that 45 seconds or whatever it is of audio, and you got the head coach talking about a drastic change in the mindset and citing things like the group waiting for each other and moving from drill to drill together. I read into that these are all things that weren't going on last year, or maybe the last couple of years.
Well, and you're right, and there's a difference. That's why I shy away from words like toxic, because there was a report by Albert Breer that said it was a toxic situation. That can mean a million different things. Sometimes the toxic situation is that, like on some teams in the past, there have been stories about players having affairs with other players' wives within the position group or whatever. Yeah, that's a toxic situation.
Yes.
I think that at the very least what you can say, it was not the ideal situation, including the coaching. And that I don't think Chris Strausser, who Bobby Slowick talked about in the first season, you know, that there was a process in Chris Strausser never having coached in a system like this. They have a brand new offensive coordinator and Bobby Slowick that I don't think knew much about the run game either. And Sean, in terms of cohesiveness on the offensive line, and just last year, you know, they were trying like hell for 2 years to make the outside zone blocking work. I was going through the Chiefs game because I wanted to find a couple clips of Titus playing guard that were good that I remembered, but I had to go through the whole first half of horrible run plays. Okay, these are the two plays that jumped out at me that I'm currently fuming about. There's one play, you talk about cohesiveness on the offensive line and operating as a group. They're running zone to the right, and Shaq Mason tries to reach the defensive tackle. Jarrett Patterson is going to overtake him. But instead, Jarrett Patterson ends up looking like he's trying to like ride a wild bronc on Shaq Mason's back. And they block nobody at all. That plays dead in the water. The other play was a zone run to the right where a defensive back ends up making the play in the backfield. Why? Because John Metchie was lined up in the slot. And at the snap, Just stood there. He's just standing there. Sean, I'm watching it right now.
Oh,
he's just standing there. This is the D-back. The defensive back rockets towards and makes a tackle for no gain in the backfield. I don't know what the hell was going on in the Texans last year. You've played 18 games already.
Yeah.
And you're making these idiotic mistakes that are just so discombobulated and atrocious. This is why I say, like, just by simply doing the right thing and knowing what you're supposed to do, like move at the snap.
Yeah.
Or just understand how to pass off a blocker. It's so disastrously bad Remember, I'm doing this as a positive exercise and finding some good snaps of Titus at guard.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's not just the offensive line, it's the tight ends, it's the wide receivers. They had no idea what the hell they were doing.
Well, and we talk to these guys, right? The players, like, we talk to them, we interact with them, we interview them, we go to their press conferences. I don't know that there's anybody like in that offensive line group, that wide receiver group. You bring up John Metchie, there's none of them where I go, this person is not intelligent. Like, they're right. A smart group of guys. You know, they seem like intelligent people that are doing completely unintelligent things and trying to execute whatever that playbook was. So,
And then there's even some of the other good plays. I mean, there was times where, you know, the same thing can happen to running backs that happened to quarterbacks. I mean, there was one nice play that was actually real well blocked. It was, you know, remember they started doing well when they brought Beck in to be a fullback in the game. That's when they started actually producing. But even then, there was one play where Mixon would have had like a really easy straight shot at potentially a 10-yard run, but he bounces it outside for no reason, partly because I don't think he didn't have a lot of time like running that play for the rest of the season, or he didn't trust the blocking.
Yep.
It was just such a mess in every position group when it came to just the simple thing about knowing who to block.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the biggest improvement the Texans could make on the offensive line this year, whether they brought in a bunch of marquee free agents or not, was that they need to have an offensive line coach and an offensive coordinator who know what the hell they're doing.
Yeah.
And that's why this next quote by Titus on Cole Popovich is so encouraging.
Yep, let's hit the Popovich one here, Ben. Titus 1 on playing for Popovich.
Oh, man, nasty. You got to have to play with a lot of grit. You know, on offensive line, they're physical, that don't take shit for nobody, and they just establish, you know, the dominance up front. He exemplifies that every morning, every day on the field, and we want that in a coach because it's only going to rub off on the offensive line, and, you know, he holds us to a high standard.
Okay. I mean, we have a couple other Titus cuts here. Like, Titus and Laramie and others of the last few years have spent a lot of time on social media and otherwise telling us, you know, what a group of dogs this offensive line is.
Was it Kenyon Green's dad that went on social media basically agreeing? Somebody had posted something about Chris Strausser not being a good coach, and Kenyon Green's dad agreed.
Correct.
Whatever it might have been.
Yep.
And that's, you know, Kenyon, part of his issues are just that he's had a hard time staying healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where, I think it's going to be good for him to be in Philadelphia, but he's just got to be able to stay healthy. I would have loved to see, okay, maybe if Cole Popovich is the real deal, what he could have done with Kenyon Green. But there is whatever the either toxicity or dysfunction was on the O-line last year. Like any dysfunctional situation, I think it's usually impossible to just point out one boogeyman that's the problem.
Yeah.
And it just felt like without being able to decipher the he said, she said of it all, they just felt like they had to overhaul everything from offensive coordinator to O-line coach and down to some of the starters on the offensive line.
I'm really hopeful we get a different version of Titus Howard this year. Here's Titus on leadership now with Laramie Tunsil gone.
I'm doing the best I can do to transform my body, transform my daily habits, all that to, you know, show the younger guys the right way to do it. I'm looking forward to that challenge of being that leader in the group. And, you know, I want to be a guy that a guy look up to and be like, hey, man, like, Titus doing the right way. And I want to, you know, do it that way. So, you know, I'm looking forward to it.
Man, I mean, I trust that's, you know, Titus uses the word transform. Again, the word transform, Seth, means something had to change. You know,
transform
my body, transform my, you know, whatever, my leadership style, like all those things. Like I think they kept him around for a reason. Look, they got rid of everybody else.
You don't get rid of 3 starting offensive linemen and then act like, oh, no, everything was cool. We just wanted to change for no good reason whatsoever.
Yeah.
Or like, if they had thought it was just Bobby Slowick, then they would have gotten rid of Bobby Slowick and still believed in some of those guys that they had there.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Yeah, it was, whether people want to address it or acknowledge it or not, something was messed up. I think that Caserio last year when he said he felt like it was a false narrative that the offensive line was the problem. The part of that that's true is that, yes, the other position groups were problems. And that's why Bobby Sloat gets fired.
Yeah.
The wide receiver, that play I was talking about, John Metchie was supposed to block that defensive back, and he's not even moving at the snap. He's just standing there like a statue.
Yeah.
And like there was on those screens, a lot of times on the screens, the part of the problem was that you might have had two wide receivers out who were supposed to be blocking, and they touched nobody.
Mm-hmm.
It was in the offensive linemen were either giving it away or just not getting out in space. Like, there was so much bad coaching, and it was an epidemic that if Nick Caley is just an average offensive coordinator, that part of it will look better this year.
Yep.
And we don't know if Nick Caley's an average or above average offensive coordinator yet, but that's where if you're frustrated about the lack of huge signings at offensive line, or, you know, not drafting more offensive linemen, whatever it might be, like, just trust that simple competence will be 200% better
huge
than
upgrade.
What they were last year.
Huge upgrade with just
I saw Sean, I went into the watching this game with a positive attitude, and I was so angry.
How'd you
like
come
10
away?
Minutes into it. What are you guys doing?
Yeah, yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah. And what would you, if you were a defensive lineman watching film of that team, knowing you were going to be playing that team this coming Sunday, what would you be thinking?
Well, the biggest thing I'd get excited about is that the pre-snap movement completely screws them all up, because you can tell they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
So just shifting your alignment immediately before the snap. I'd have three tackles for a loss that required zero physical skill whatsoever. Just completely unblocked.
Yes.
Yeah, that was – kids, young defensive linemen, if you're listening.
Yeah.
By far the biggest cheat code as a defensive lineman is stemming your alignment before the snap.
Mm-hmm.
Because offensive linemen have so much crap they got to try to filter out. And when you just change your alignment, and especially if you can get your lazy defensive line mates to do it in coordination with you, it just screws them up so bad. And you get free tackles for a loss.
Yeah, that's
free tackles.
Stat padding.
These are free stats.
Dude,
yeah.
They pay. You know the old saying?
The running back will run right into you.
Yeah.
Like, you have to try not to make the tackle.
You know the old saying, tackles for losses get stacks.
Yes.
Sacks. Sacks get stacks, and tackles
for
losses.
Losses, we all live like hosses. Yeah.
Yes. All right. Payne and Pendergast. All right, a trade that is getting destroyed from every corner of the baseball universe. We now have Exekanon, Seth. We've got Exekanon weighing in on the Rafael Devers trade. And we've got that for you coming up next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.